We're going to launch into electrochemistry today. We're going to start with balancing of redox reactions, though, because I know that's a topic that some of you did get in Chem 1A and some of you didn't. So before we can get to electrochem proper, we do have to deal with some examples of that. I like the examples that are in your lecture text, so I'm going to work through the same examples. And what we're going to do first, then, is balancing a redox reaction in acidic environments. So the particular redox reaction we have is dichromate reacting with iodide to form chromium plus 3 ion as a byproduct plus solid iodine. It is a redox reaction. How would we be able to tell that? Charges, or more technically, oxidation states, although for iodide, the ion, it is the same for its oxidation state and its formal charge, because if you don't have any bonds, those two things are the same thing. So iodine, we could say, has an oxidation state of negative 1. What does iodine, the product solid, have as far as its oxidation state? 0, because if you have an unreacted element, then by definition, its oxidation state is 0. Now, chromium plus 3 ion, since it's an ion without any bonds, that again means its oxidation state is the same as its formal charge. So the only place where we have to really do a little bit of work is for the dichromate ion. Now, I can tell you that dichromate does not have any peroxides in it. Why do we care about that? What is the normal oxidation state of oxygen? Why is oxygen normally an oxidation state of negative 2? Because it's more electronegative than most other elements. And so whatever compound that oxygen might happen to be in, unless it's connected to an oxygen, which is equal electronegativity because it's the same element, or unless it's connected to a fluorine, which is more electronegative, it's always going to gain those electrons from any bonds it might have when we're counting for oxidation state. So oxygen would normally end up with 8 electrons around it. It has 6 in its unreacted elemental state. And so that's why oxygen is normally negative 2. This is what we talked about in the lab lecture where we went over oxidation state versus formal charge, right? All right. So then you know that a peroxide is one of those exceptions because it has an oxygen-oxygen single bond. What would the oxidation state normally be in a peroxide? What is the chance that these oxidation state rules and discussion are going to end up on your lecture quiz? Even though we did the discussion in lab, it is a lecture topic. So you might want to go back and study that lecture we had on oxidation state versus formal charge. A peroxide is usually negative 1. So the point of mentioning that is if we've got all this oxygens in this compound, we got to know, is it a peroxide or not? And I'll tell you that no. And in fact, most compounds, you can presume you don't have a peroxide, and it'll be the few exceptions where we do that I'll make sure to tell you. So that means that oxygen gets a negative 2 oxidation state. What is chromium then? Plus 6. Some of you are already calculating while I was talking, and you know that if you're going to end up with an overall negative 2 charge, that has to equal to the sum of the oxidation states. We have 2 negative from the charge, and we have 14 negative from the 7 oxygens combined. So for that to balance out, the 2 chromiums must be plus 12 combined, but there's 2 chromiums, which means each one is plus 6. If you didn't quite follow that math, then again, go back and refer to that lecture we did on oxidation state versus formal charge, where we did a problem just like this. And if you're still confused about it, then ask me on Friday when we have lecture again, because we have a chance for questions now that we won't have that quiz. So I've identified my oxidation states. What thing got reduced? Because what does reduction mean? Gaining electrons. So what gained electrons?
Chromium, that's right. And what lost electrons? It has to be the only other thing there. The iodide. Notice, though, there's a different number of electrons being gained versus lost. That's how we know, one way at least, that this is not a balanced reaction. Because in a balanced redox reaction, you have to have the same number of electrons gained as lost. Before we do that, though, let me ask you, which one of these four things in solution is the oxidizing agent? Dichromate. Why? Because whatever is the oxidizing agent is the thing that's getting reduced. Because oxidize means to lose electrons. Oxidizing agent means something that causes something else to lose electrons. If that something else is losing electrons, that means that the oxidizing agent is gaining them, which means the oxidizing agent is getting reduced. So what is the reducing agent here? Iodide, because it's whatever got oxidized. So the oxidizing agent. Gets reduced. What gets reduced? Chromium. So it is dichromate that is the oxidizing agent. The reducing agent gets oxidized. That is iodide minus. Notice that I haven't identified chromium plus 3 or iodine as being reduced, oxidized, the reducing agent, or the oxidizing agent, because these two things aren't any of those. These are the products. So if I was to ask you a review-type question, because all of this should be review, not the determination of oxidation states, but just knowing what oxidizers, reducers are. If I ask you for what's reduced or what's oxidized, it's always a reagent, never a product. If I ask you what's the oxidizing agent or reducing agent, that's always a reagent, not the product. I only bring this up because when I ask this exact same question in Chem 1A, I very frequently get one of these two products as an answer for one of these things. But a product is a product. You're already there, so it can't be the agent because it was formed during the reaction. So, we have something getting oxidized. We have something getting reduced. The way that we balance these equations is to tackle those two pieces independently and then put the two half reactions, they're called, back together for one overall equation. Yes?
Why is the iodide reducing if it's getting oxidized?
Why is it the reducing agent? Because if I am the reducing agent, that means I'm giving electrons to something. Right?
So you're reducing the other
thing. I'm reducing the other thing. I'm the cause of it being reduced.
So it's basically the reference to that's the reason why the chromate is being reduced.
Yes. Chromium is getting reduced, and because it pulled the electrons from somewhere else, from that somewhere else's perspective, chromium's an oxidizing agent.
Okay.
So same logic for the reducing agent here. Yes?
So chromium is reduced, but chromate is the oxidizing agent.
The chromium in dichromate is reduced, yes. But the dichromate ion is the oxidizing agent.
How important is it to make sure that we say chromium and dichromate instead of...
So since you brought that question up, I'll say it again. I'm not necessarily likely to ask a question like this because this is a Chem 1A question, but given there seems to be some confusion or weakness in what oxidizers or reducers are, I'd say go back and study it. The question that was just asked is whether I would call chromium in this compound as getting reduced or whether dichromate is getting reduced. Actually, you could take either perspective because chromium is inside the compound. But as far as what's receiving the electrons, oxygen's not receiving any electrons. So technically, it is the chromium metal that is getting reduced in this process. But an agent means a whole compound, not just the individual atom. So if I'm asking for the oxidizing agent, it's the whole thing. If I'm asking for the reducing agent, it's the whole thing. Does that make sense? Okay. So as I was saying, to balance these equations, we handle the oxidation event and the reduction event independently, and that's what's called a half reaction. So redox means you have a reduction, you have an oxidation. They're two different processes, though, and when you treat one separately from the other, that's called a half reaction. So what are the two half reactions, then? Dichromate turning into the chromium plus 3 ion, and then iodide turning into iodine. So the first thing we're going to do is balance everything in terms of atoms. So there's a three-step process that we do if we balance in acidic conditions. The three steps are balance atoms other than oxygen or hydrogen. Next, balance the oxygens using water, because everything we're going to do is presuming aqueous solutions. And then the last is to balance hydrogen using a random acid source, H+. So not necessarily trying to identify the source of that acid, but that there's H+ being used up, you could say, in solution. Let's do that for both of these two cases. So dichromate, reacting to make chromium plus 3. Well, we only have one chromium on the left, or the right. We have two chromiums on the left, so the first thing that we're going to have to do is add the two. After that, we have the fact that there's oxygens that are missing on the right-hand side versus the left. The assumption is normally going to be that whatever oxygens are part of the compound that gets oxidized or reduced, if those oxygens disappear, it's because they end up in the form of water in our final product. And that is going to be the case for this example as well. We have seven oxygens on the left, and so we can balance that by putting in seven waters. Of course, water has hydrogen on it. The dichromate ion didn't have any hydrogen on it, but that's convenient for us then, because all we have to do is say, well, it's in acidic solution, so there must be some H+ around anyways. How many H+s? Well, 14 of them, because each water has two, there are seven waters, so 7 times 2 gives us 14. The last thing that we have to do is to make sure where our electrons should go in this equation. Now, is this, and I know the answer already, but just to emphasize, is this process going on here oxidation or reduction? Okay. How many electrons total are needed?
Six.
Six, because if we look at the oxidation states of our reactant and product, it goes from plus 6 to plus 3, which means 3 for each chromium. But there are two chromiums here, And we end up with, therefore, 6 electrons needed as a reagent. So I should put an item number 4 here. That we need to balance those electrons. Great. What about the iodide portion of that? So iodide getting oxidized to make iodine. We do the same process of first balancing the non-oxygen hydrogen elements. So I put a 2 on the left-hand side because then that gives us the 2 for iodine. We don't need any oxygens because there are no oxygens in the reactant or product. We don't need any hydrogens because we didn't add any water. So this balancing ended up being pretty simple. But what about the total number of electrons involved? Yes, sir.
I thought it was supposed to be solid.
Oh, sorry. No, focusing on the charge here. So how many electrons are released when one iodide gets turned into iodine? 1 per iodide. But there are 2 iodides here, and so that means there are 2 electrons that are given out. This still doesn't balance overall. Each half reaction is now consistent with its own self. But since these 2 have to be part of the same process, that means what we're going to have to do is multiply this whole bottom equation by 3. And just so you can follow along in the notes later, where we're at right now is that these half reactions are balanced individually. But the total number of electrons gained or lost must match. So I multiply the whole bottom equation by 3. If I add everything together, then what am I going to get? Well, let me do that as a 2-step process. Go through the more formal work this first time. So 6 electrons plus the 14 H pluses plus dichromate react to give 2 chromium 3 ions plus 7 waters. The 6 iodides react to make 3 iodines plus 6 electrons are involved. We have the same 6 electrons on the left and the right hand sides of the equations. And so adding everything together, 14H plus aqueous plus dichromate plus 6 iodides makes 2 chromium plus 3 ions plus 3 iodines plus 7 water. Questions on how I did that balancing? Because we are going to do one more now, partly as practice, but also to switch conditions. Because this was under acidic conditions. There's an easy systematic way we tackle what happens if we have basic conditions. But question, yes? It is generally harder to do.
Okay.
Because if you're trying to count oxygens, for example, and let's say that you have 2 reagents, both with oxygen, and both making products that involve oxygen, it's just simpler to do the accounting, you could say, with one half versus the other.
Okay.
So, because if you start getting multiple compounds with oxygen, then how do you know without going through the whole process overall, how many waters are you adding or subtracting? Well, not subtracting. Which side do you add the water on and how much water?
Okay.
Yeah. In some cases, you might end up doing this much extra work, but for most problems you're going to do, way simpler to do the half reaction method. With what little time we have left, I'm going to run through this basic version of balancing redox reactions. The first thing I'll do on Friday is to talk about voltage and some of the other units of measure that you might not be familiar with if you have not taken a physics class. So we'll talk about what voltage is and how that's related to free energy, because there is a relationship between the what's called the chemical potential, the electric potential in a cell, a relationship between that and free energy, in other words, an equilibrium constant. So that's our discussion for Friday. Let's finish up that redox reaction, and I'm going to use the same example here for a basic balancing that's in your text, which is a reaction between permanganate and oxalate. We work everything initially the same way that we did for an acid problem. So let's look at the unbalanced equation. It's the permanganate ion reacting with the oxalate ion. To form manganese oxide, manganese 4 oxide, plus carbonate as a byproduct. Let's again identify the oxidation states. I'll do this a little quickly because of the time that we lost. Carbonate, that is not a peroxide. So the carbon in this case must be plus 4. Because the three oxygens together would be minus 6, although each oxygen by itself is negative 2. So that's an important point, that when I ask for what an oxidation state is, I don't ask for collective oxidation states. In other words, I won't ask the three oxygen combined, what is it? No, I'll ask for each individual oxygen. But knowing that there's three of them, to make the whole thing balance out to negative 2, carbon has to be plus 4. In manganese oxide, oxygen is negative 2, which is how we can get that manganese is plus 4. There's 4 oxygens in this compound, which that gives us a negative 8 total. Then we have the negative 2 charge that this has to balance out to. So that means that each carbon has to be plus 3, yes? Oxygen and permanganate, negative 2. Manganese has to be plus 7. Those of you who are fast, did I do this right? Okay, thank you. So we can figure out that we go from plus 7 to plus 4 for manganese. So that means that we have reduction. We're adding 3 electrons. And then between the oxalate and the carbonate, we have oxidation, that makes sense because permanganate is very often a oxidizing agent. So we're losing one electron here. Let's split this into two half reactions. We get manganese in the form of permanganate reacting to make manganese dioxide. We balance things that are not oxygen or hydrogen first, but there's only one manganese on either side, so that's already balanced. We have only 2 oxygens on the right, but there's 4 on the left, so we're going to add 2 waters. And then because of the water I just added, that's 4 hydrogens that we have to account for. So we have 4 hydrogens that I'm going to put on the left. That's for that half reaction. Now let's look at the oxalate. Oh, I forgot one thing.
Did you leave out the electrons?
I most certainly did. No, I left out the electrons because I'm in a hurry. So this is taking 3 electrons in, correct? So I'm going to put 3 electrons here as a reagent. Now for oxalate. Going from oxalate to carbonate. We have 2 carbons on the left, only 1 on the right, so we're going to put a 2 in front of the carbonate there. Then we have now 6 oxygens on the right, 4 oxygens on the left, So I need two waters here, which if you're looking ahead, that means, yes, it's going to cancel out. Right. And then we have four H pluses we need on the right because we have two waters on the left. And then this is oxidation, which means electron is being given off. And there's only one electron that is being given off. Nope. Two electrons. Because each carbon is losing an electron. Right. No, I did that right. So we have three electrons in one reaction. We have two electrons in the other. We're going to have to multiply this whole first reaction by two. And we're going to have to multiply the whole second reaction by three. I need just a couple more minutes to finish up here. So I'm going to go ahead and move on forward just so you have this completed example to study from the notes. So rewriting the two equations, I get 6 electrons plus 8 H pluses plus 2 permanganates makes 2 manganese oxides plus 4 waters. Distributing the 3 down here, I get 6 waters plus 3 oxalates makes 6 carbonates plus 12 H pluses plus 6 electrons. There is some cancellation that's going to go on. The 6 electrons better cancel out, or I'm not balanced. Some of the H pluses cancel, some of the waters cancel. So what do we end up with? 2 permanganates plus 3 oxalates plus 2 waters makes 2 manganese oxides plus 6 carbonates plus 4 H pluses. The last thing we need to do is that if we want basic conditions, for basic conditions, we add one OH to each side for each H plus present. So I'm going to add in 4 OH minuses on the right, 4 OH minuses on the left. What that's going to give me is 2 permanganates, 3 oxalates, 2 waters, 4 hydroxides. On the left, on the right, 2 manganese oxides, 6 carbonates, and now 4 waters. Water again will cancel out, and so we're left with 2 permanganates plus 3 oxalates plus 4 hydroxides, making 2 manganese oxides plus 6 carbonates plus 2 waters. Which is the right answer? We're out of time. Section 2, we'll talk about the lab quiz in lab. And we'll continue with Electrochem on Friday.